Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and good evening. Believe it or not, it is our last show before the next Christmas. So I wish you a happy, wonderful, merry Christmas for the year 2012. And this is our third Christmas, I believe, we have together here, Christy. Am I right? Hello, Christy. How are you?
Yes, Usama, you are right. And I'm doing wonderful now. And
now,
it's been a very...
Go ahead. Finish what you're going to say, sister. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's been a wonderful day, other than the technological difficulties that we all have every now and then. But thank you, Jesus. We got past them. I'm looking forward to the show. It's great to hear your voice with us right from the beginning, Usama. This is really good.
First of all, I need to give an apology about what happened last week. I was in a place where my phone does not work, and I could not find a phone to call to get you guys. And people let me in the church, so I could not even... And I was in one of the buildings of the church, which you have a phone, but it does not work. And I sent Vicky to search for another phone, and we went to the kitchen phone, and the kitchen phone worked long distance. That's how I was able to join you guys after I borrowed a phone from some people in the church. Said, please let me borrow your phone. And you put me on hold for half hour to answer my phone. So I don't know whose fault. Is it my fault or your fault?
I pretty familiar with your phone number, and when I saw these calls coming up, we had a couple of other callers on there. In fact, by the way, our friend Eddie A, thanks for joining us on the program early last week. He came on, Eddie A, and he was missing you and asking how you were doing, and of course you weren't on the show. But yeah. I didn't mean to leave you, Sama, on hold. It isn't that I wanted to do the show without you. I just recognized this area code as one where we sometimes get a lot of prank callers, you know, the ones that use some rather colorful language, and so I was letting them wait.
The wonderful Christian, the wonderful Muslim friends who are literally dropping the fruit out of their tree from their tongues. Believe it or not, I have plenty of emails. If I read to the people on this program, they will have a shock for the amount of filth come out of the lips of the Muslim. It's unbelievable, but that's okay. I used to collect all these emails in a folder, but then I stopped. I said, what is the purpose from collecting all this trash? There's no reason for it. So when I receive this trash email, normally I respond with a blessed statement from the Bible, you know, blessed are you,
yes,
who is the cursed you. And I said, okay, now I'm blessed. Thank you and goodbye. That's all I can say. But anyway, 3 years, Christy. We've been 3 years on this network. And I don't know, when I say 3 years, I feel good because the Lord has been using us the last 3 years. And I know when you hear the word 3 years, you feel a little bit sad because you're getting old. Is that true?
Well, Usama, I personally just basically celebrated my 16th birthday, if you remember this year.
Right. That was 16 backwards. Maybe
yeah, that was 16 reverse, right? No, but I am not getting old. I am just
right.
Getting wiser.
We need your wisdom, believe it or not. But Merry Christmas for you, and Merry Christmas for everyone who are listening to us right now and those who listen the next few days. And Happy New Year to all of you. It is our joy to serve you and to do everything we can to bring the truth about Islam. Revealing the truth about Islam is the goal of this radio program and is the goal of our ministry, the Straightway of Grace Ministry, because I believe the more we know about the Quran, the more we know about Islam, the more we know how empty is this religion of Islam. Remind me, Christy, next week program, if the Lord is willing and we're still alive, remind me next week to talk about this email which has been put all over the internet now about my speech in the school in Ohio. So make it in your note that we need to talk about it next week. But tonight, we really want to concentrate on Christmas and I'm going to expose to you the Quran. When I say expose the Quran, I mean I'm going to open the Quran and read it for you to see how ignorant was Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. For he, sadly, did not have the chance or the opportunity to read the Bible correctly, to know the story about Christmas. He made up a story about Christmas like every other story which Muhammad copied from the Bible into the Quran. He always changed. And today we're going to expose the lies, the contradiction, and the propaganda of Muhammad concerning the Lord, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know there's so much happening in Egypt, and I'd like to just quickly share with you that my home country is about to be to go in a civil war. And the propaganda of Mohamed Morsi and the Brotherhood is really, they're doing a great job to steal the election once again. Even though there are millions and millions of Egyptians who do not want Sharia, Islamic law, but they will pass it anyway. And this ignorant, and all those who are who helped him, I'm talking about our president, who helped Mohamed Morsi to take over Egypt, they're not going to do anything. I dare Barack Hussein Obama to send a message to Mohamed Morsi and tell him you cannot practice Sharia, Islamic law, against the Christian Egyptian. You cannot force this law on the Egyptian Muslim who hated it. I dare Barack Hussein Obama to get involved in that. But no, he was smart enough, he was good enough to remove Mubarak and replace him with the Brotherhood. And he's smart enough and good enough to literally loading the White House and our government here in America with the Brotherhood. And he's smart enough to call them not radical, not extremist, no, moderate Muslim, secular group.
Yes.
The mother of all jihad that's under Barack Hussein Obama, they are simply a secular group. I'm getting sick and tired from the silence of Obama and all the people around him to lead Egypt to go through that. Literally, hell on earth. The last few weeks, last few months, and the few next few weeks, the next few months to come. They are forcing Sharia against Muslim and all Christian Egypt. And America stands silent. And America will continue to send money to help the Brotherhood of Egypt. I would not be surprised that Obama would send our military to kill the Christian Egypt and bring Muslim, more Egyptian Muslims to America. I mean, it's chaos.
You know, Usama, for anybody who's listening and doesn't know this, you know, I just want to kind of clarify, you know, your home country is Egypt. And you and I watched as Obama was ordering Mubarak down and trying to warn people that the Muslim Brotherhood would take Egypt over and turn Egypt into another radical state.
He told this to come to rise 4 or 5 years ago. 6 years ago, as a matter of fact, if you remember it right. But nobody in this country listened to Mubarak. And now Obama celebrating Egypt. If you ask Obama, how do you feel about what he did to the country? He'll say, oh, democracy and the love of the peace and the love and the peace of the Brotherhood will rule over Egypt. This is making me sick.
My own people
in Egypt are suffering because of the ignorance of Barack Hussein Obama and the ignorance of the leaders of the United States of America. Where are the people of this country to stop Mohamed Morsi from destroying another country in the Middle East? Why there's always silence when things go wrong in the Middle East? I don't know.
You know, there is another story, and we talked about it a little bit on the Roundtable, which is another radio show with GCINradio.com that I do with several other people. And one of the things that was just in the news, of course, not in our American media, was the jihadist Egyptian who is now in Syria with the rebels fighting to overthrow Assad. And his message was broadcast on the Egyptian television saying every Christian needs to become Muslim or die. And
that
this
is
why, yes,
that is Sharia.
And this is
that
what
is
the American
law.
Media, yeah, the American media will not show this. And this is why we have to speak out.
Of course not. Do you want Obama to look bad? Are you sick in your head? I mean, literally, Obama is, if Obama sacrificed 4 lives American in Benghazi, Libya, do you think he's going to care about 4 or 40 million Christians anywhere else? He sacrificed his own people because of his arrogant heart and ignorant mind. He's thinking that, hey, he killed Bin Laden, the war against Al-Qaeda is over, therefore we do not need any protection to our people in the Middle East. I mean, Benghazi is a beautiful democracy now because, hey, Bin Laden is killed. This man is so arrogant, so ignorant of what is happening in the Middle East. We have Al-Qaeda today in the Middle East 10 times worse than when he came to office. And he's saying he already got rid of Al-Qaeda. And he's telling you that the Taliban are wonderful people. He's dealing with Taliban right now. He's making deals with the Taliban to stop fighting our soldiers in Afghanistan, that he may remove our soldiers and he will give them more weapons and give them more money and give them all what you want. And he's doing the same thing in Egypt with Mohamed Morsi. So,
and these weapons, you saw, I keep telling people, these weapons that we're giving these people, they're going to be turned against us and turned against Israel. You know?
Let me ask a question. What weapon in Benghazi, Libya, was using against our American people there? What weapon in the Taliban is using in Afghanistan? All of the American soldiers were killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And literally, some weapon somehow was made in the USA and was given to these people. I mean, if it's not, let me put it this way. If it's not American weapon, it's Russian weapon. One of the two.
That's right.
The Arabs do not know how to make a gun made out of wood. You know, they don't know anything. So these Muslims, all what they got is American or Russian. That's the only two countries where they buy their own weapons from. But anyway, Merry Christmas.
We do also right now, Usama, we do have a caller waiting, and I don't want them to get impatient on us, and we're going to go to the next subject. But also, it's a good time for us to give out our phone number again. So that is 347-857-1380, and we will go to our caller in just a second. But I know previously we've talked about how the American ships, American planes are being sent to Egypt, and we know that Mohamed Morsi is not a man who wants peace, and we know that he wants to attack Israel. He's a supporter of Hamas, and it is just, I mean, it's unbelievable that we are now providing weapons to Egypt, knowing what this man stands for.
I don't want to even get into that, Christy, because I don't want to concentrate on the Christmas.
Yes, I do too.
The propaganda Islam of the Quran concerning teaching about Jesus. But go ahead, get us this phone call.
Yes, we've got our caller. You're calling in. Your last two numbers are 0069. So, caller, you are coming on the air with us live. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Let me just say this, Usama. You know, you've been on our show on GCINradio.com. It's me, R.E.V.
I'm here to wish
you a very happy holiday season. Now, you know, on the round table, we bring up a lot of discussions. And one thing in particular, Christine Johnson is part of our show on GCINradio.com, the Gulf Coast Independent Network. We're getting over 350,000 hits on this station.
Now you make me feel like, whoa, when can you have me on your show again, man? You come up with big numbers. You make me feel too small, but that's okay.
Look, I'm telling you, you are welcome on the show anytime you want to. And if people come to our radio station, you know they're going to hear different topics. We play independent music. I mean, we do everything. But let me get back to the subject we want to talk about tonight. I mean, there's nothing better but sitting in a bathtub of hot, warm water, not worried about Christmas, because we've already had the Christmas spirit drop down to nothing because of another 4 years of the Obama administration. Now, we know we've been talking about what's going on over there in Israel and what's going on with another dictator being told to step down and this and that and the other. And John Kerry's going to become the Secretary of State before it's over with. Hillary Clinton's got a concussion. And we're sitting here and we're all looking at each other going, what is next? And I believe in 2013, somebody out there in a foreign country is going to step up and say, hey, Obama, why don't you shut up and step down? Who is he to tell dictators to step down over in their own foreign countries? And why ain't the dictators telling them, hey, why don't you go step down?
You know what, brother? You open a real big topic here. Awesome. But you know what's going to happen? I guarantee you, Syria will fall in the hands of the rebels. Syria will fall in the hands of Al-Qaeda. We have Muslim from all over the world are right now in Syria to get rid of Al-Assad. Now, I guarantee you, most likely, we're going to have another 2-3 countries in Africa, in the Muslim world, where the riots will go up high to the roof, and the rebels will be shouting, they want also to take over their country, which normally will be the Al-Qaeda, the Brotherhood, Al-Shabaab, Ikhwan, Hamas, Fatah, name it, all these Muslim jihad. And I guarantee you, Obama will support the new countries to be taken over by the rebels. I guarantee you, that's what's going to happen in the next 3-4 years. But nothing will happen to Obama. As a matter of fact, you need to get ready for Barack Hussein Obama to run for the third term. He will be running in the year 2016. I'm telling
you. Well, you know, Usama, we're trying to figure out over here in the great U.S. of A., what's next and what tactics are going to be pulled. We've had people jumping ship on the Obama administration from the Benghazi situation because we can't get a straight story out of that. Like I said before, all of a sudden Hillary Clinton's got amnesia. She can't testify in front of the committee. And everybody's just wondering, well, what's next? Where are we going to go from here? I know that the Internet's possibly going to be taken over by the UN. That's what they try to do right now. They're trying to take the guns out of the people here in the United States. And if anybody remembers that when Japan was fighting the United States, Japan made the comment, we didn't want to go invade the United States of America because everybody had a gun. So what do? We shoot them with slingshots?
No. Take the guns away from my hand and your hand. That we will be prepared for China to take over America. Somebody else take over America.
Well, you know what, Usama, I'm going to get off the phone with you because you probably got some more phone calls. But I just want to say you are welcome on GCIMradio.com anytime you'd like to come on. I know you've been on Sean Hannity. You always have a good time with us. And I just want to say this real quick. We're asking now for our House and Senate to pass a bill for $60 billion for aid to victims up in New Jersey for Sandy because we're broke. We are simply broke. We're about ready to go over the cliff here in the United States of America. And what amazes me, all total, we're sending billions and billions of dollars over to the Middle East, and all these people that we're giving aid to are turning around and shooting the Americans in the back. Now, why haven't we taken care of our own country before we take care of other people that just turn their backs on us? I want that final question to be answered here, Usama.
Well, brother, let me put it this way. I think we are the most, and I say this and people get upset with me all the time, we're the most dumb people on planet Earth. We send money to our enemy who hate our guts, but at the same time, we are, I've seen this commercial so many times on TV. It's a very noble question, a very noble request, but it makes me so sick in my stomach when our, so many of the famous people in this country begging the American people to give $19 to take care of our wounded soldiers, $19. Why in the world we're asking or begging for the American people to give $19 to our wounded soldiers, which we should give to them all everything we got. At the same time, we send billions of dollars to Pakistan, to Egypt, to Gaza, to the Hamas and Fatah. For heaven's sake, something is wrong in this country. And then when you get Sandy or some hurricane in America, we ignore our people. We just literally drop the ball completely. What is wrong with this country? We're doing everything wrong to make our enemies strong, and we're not taking care of our own people or even of our own soldiers, those who lost their hands and their feet and their legs for the love of this country. We're enjoying freedom, and we're not paying for it. It is so sick, brother. It's so sick.
Just let me say this before I leave. You know, I wish you a Merry Christmas, Usama. You're welcome on our show anytime on GCINradio.com. You need to come check it out. It's News, Talk, Sports, and Entertainment. You know that. Christine Johnson, you make the appointment. Get Usama on the show. And plus, on top of that, thank God for EBT cards in the United States of America. There's going to be plenty of Christmas trees full of toilet paper, steaks, and whatever they can give, because that's the only thing they can buy off of. The United States is broke, and we need to start paying attention to our own country before we start paying attention and starting fires over in the Middle East. Usama, Merry Christmas, baby, and you have a good one, baby.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Rashid, your call. It was a very wonderful, many thoughts you have shared with us tonight, and I look forward to be on your radio program by God's will next year. All right. That was an excellent phone call, and you guys need to go to check this radio. And Christy will fill us in with so many things happening there because she's part of the team there. And it is a very conservative radio station. I literally would like all of you to check it out and go and listen to them. You will learn a lot. You will learn a lot. That's all. All what you do there, they're doing a great job. Now, Christy, I want to go to the subject of tonight. It's Christmas, and I really don't want to get into much politics anymore unless some Muslim want to come and debate us on it. But otherwise, I want to move on to the story of Jesus. You know, in Islam, guys, the Quran talk about Jesus. The Quran talk about Mary. And one of the biggest lies Muslims spread all over America is they always say, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Virgin Mary. And man, oh man, if you hear Muslims talk about Jesus and Mary, you may think they are Christian. You may think they are good Catholic or good Baptist, because literally they will tell you all what you want to hear about Jesus and about Mary. But is that is what is really written? Is this is the truth as it is written in the Quran? Is this what Muhammad taught them in the Hadith? What they're telling us is one thing, and what it's written there in their books is another thing. And I know, you know, many Muslims will say, we have more respect for Jesus than you. And if you ask why, they will tell you, you are following the false Jesus. What do you mean by that? They'll tell you, Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a good prophet. And we believe in him. But you made him God, or you made him the Son of God. Not knowing that the statement, Jesus is a good teacher, will not pass the test if we know what Muslims really believe about Jesus' teaching. And maybe I'll give you a quick good example here. When Muslims tell me that they believe in Jesus to be a good teacher, I always ask the Muslim, what is about Jesus' teachings which cause you to believe that he's a good teacher? Well, guess what the answer? They don't know. Why they don't know? Because simply, they don't know anything about Jesus' teachings. They just say the statement without even thinking about what they're saying. Okay. Jesus is a good teacher. Let me quote you one of Jesus' teachings. In John 14:6, Jesus taught, the good teacher, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, do Muslims believe that every Muslim and every Christian and Muhammad and Buddha and everybody walk on this planet Earth cannot get to heaven but through Jesus Christ? Jesus is the only way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Do Muslims believe in that? No. So what we got so far, Christy? We got a false teacher, a bad teacher. How about Jesus, the good man? Let's look at what the Bible says about Jesus, the good man. First, you ask the Muslim, what do you mean by Jesus, the good man? Do you really believe that he is good man? Yes, indeed, we do believe in that. Okay. Jesus said that your sin is forgiven. Jesus accepted worship of his disciples and many. Jesus said, before Abraham, I am. He is telling the Jew he is God. I mean, can Jesus be a good man and be a blasphemer? It does not work. If Jesus is not God, that means Jesus is a very bad, bad person, a blasphemer. And according to the Jewish law, a man claimed to be God, a man accepted worship, a man forgives sins, he must be stoned to death. That's why when Jesus said these things, and when Jesus did accepted worship and all the things about God in this Jesus, when he acted to be a God, when he did perform the things which belong to God alone, they literally bricked a block to stone him. So we ask Muslims, do you really believe that Jesus is God who came in flesh? No. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? No. So how can you tell me he's a good man if he said and he claimed to be God? How about the third one, Christy? Muslims say that Jesus is a good prophet. I know, Muslims don't have a clue what is a prophet. Because if Muslims know what is a prophet, they know for sure that Muhammad is not a prophet. Why I'm saying that? Because it's very simple. Jesus prophesied, and when you prophesy, if your prophecy is fulfilled, as you lead people to worship the God of the Bible, that makes you a true prophet. What was Jesus' prophecy? He said what? He will die. He said he will be taken by the Gentiles, they will mock him, they will spit on his face, they will physically beat him, and they will crucify him, and he will die, and on the third day, he will rise back alive. He will raise from the dead. Now, do Muslim people believe Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead? No, they don't. For therefore, Jesus is a false prophet because his prophecy never took place. So far we've got a bad teacher, a blasphemer, a bad man, and a false prophet. And Muslims still insist that they believe in Jesus, a good teacher, a good man, a good prophet. I'm sorry, this makes no sense. The second important thing I'd like to share with you tonight is Muslims say they believe in Virgin Mary, and they have a high respect for Virgin Mary. As a matter of fact, they're telling you there's two chapters in the Quran talk about the story of Mary. Chapter 3, we're going to read tonight, and chapter 19, we're going to read tonight. And they tell you, look, chapter 19 was actually named after Mary, the Book of Mary. See? We have more respect and more love for Virgin Mary than you Christians. Do you have in the Bible, Christy, the Book of Mary anywhere in the Bible?
Yes. No, we don't have the Book of Mary, no.
Oh, see, Muslims have more respect and more love for Mary than you Christians.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, chapter 19 in the Quran is a small chapter. There is a bigger chapter than chapter 19. It's chapter 2. Do you know what is the name of chapter 2 in the Book of the Quran, Christy?
It is the book of Miriam, or Mary.
No, that's chapter 19. I'm talking about chapter 2, the biggest book.
Oh, chapter 2.
In the Quran.
In the Quran. Okay, Ron, you got to give me...
It's an animal, and we bring milk out of it. And we
it's
eat
the
it.
Cow. It's the cow,
the book
that's right.
The cow. Can you imagine?
The book
Allah
of...
have more respect. Seriously, Allah have more respect to the cows than Mary. He gives the cow a bigger chapter in the Quran. And he only gives
right.
Mary a small chapter. It is ridiculous. How Muslims try to say that they believe in Virgin Mary and they respect Virgin Mary when you read everything that is written about Mary in the Quran is nothing but a lie. They say they believe in Jesus and respect Jesus and they love Jesus, but everything was written about Jesus in the Quran is a lie. Starting with what? With his name. What is the name for Jesus in the Arabic Quran, Christy?
It's Isa.
Isa. And what Isa means?
I don't know.
It has no meaning. I dare a Muslim to call us right now, 347-857-1380. The number again. If you're a Muslim, 347-857-1380. And just tell us what is the name Isa means to you in Arabic language. It is not even an Arabic word, Christy. That is a great evidence that the name Isa does not have any meaning because it is not an Arabic word. Now, the name Yeshua is the Arabic for Yeshua, the Hebrew name of Jesus. See, Jesus' mama, Virgin Mary, when she used to call him, Isa? No, she called him Yeshua. And
that's
the
right.
Translation of the word Yeshua to Arabic is Yeshua. For the sheen in the Hebrew language is a sheen in the Arabic language. So Yeshua, it is the true, accurate name for Jesus in the Arabic language, which comes from the Hebrew Yeshua. Yeshua have a great meaning, which means what, Christy?
The Savior.
Savior. As we're going to read in the story here in a few minutes, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, you shall name him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sin. He came to save you and I from our sin. As he died as a substitute, the one who took our place instead of you and I die, he did take our place and die instead of us. That's why he saved us from our sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So we receive eternal life when Jesus took our place and he died on the cross. And that's what we mean by he is Yeshua, the Savior. Now, Muhammad is so smart. He could not put Yeshua in the Arabic Quran, but he changed it to Isa. Why? Because now all the Arabs, all the Muslims, will never figure out what was Jesus came to do. He did not die on the cross as Muhammad declared in the Quran. He actually was there in Israel for 30-some years to perform some miracles since his birth, and he left Earth without saving anybody. What a wonderful Savior. Of course, it is a joke.
You know, and this is really important because there are some Christian ministers who will try to say that Isa of the Quran is the same as Jesus. But because Muhammad even changed the name, so it wouldn't mean Savior. The Isa is no Savior. And that's just that change in that name that is so important.
And notice that also, Christy, if you ask any of the Muslims, who is Isa? They would say Isa, son of Mary, as it is written throughout the Quran. And I know for us here in America, we have no clue. There's nothing wrong to say Jesus, son of Mary, because literally or physically, he was born of Virgin Mary. But in the Arabic culture, you don't. Let me say it again. You don't name the person with his mother name unless his mother was a prostitute. When you say Jesus, Isa, son of Mary, it is in my culture, in our background, it's a very insulting. I wonder how Muslims feel if we say Muhammad, son of Amna, which is his mother name. And you know what? We have the right. I have the right to call Muhammad, son of Amna, because no kidding, no one can tell me that Abdullah is the father of Muhammad. For Abdullah died 4 years before Muhammad was born. And I know some of the smart, intelligent scholars of Islam, they will tell you that a woman can be pregnant up to 5 years before she births her son or her baby, which is nonsense. It is foolishness. This is the interpretation of the Quran, I believe, chapter 13, verse 8, okay, by Muslim scholars. That is a propaganda, that is a baloney. The longest time of pregnancy is 18 months, and that is not for human, but that is for elephants. But besides that, I don't know anybody can be more than that. It's just reality. So I can say Muhammad, son of Amna, because that is his mother, and we do not know who is his father. But for Muslims to say Jesus, Isa, son of Mary, that is a great insult for every Christian in the world. Go ahead, Christy.
I was just going to mention this controversy over the YouTube video about Muhammad. That was one of the issues that was brought up as an insult, and yet that is the teaching in Islam, that his mother was pregnant with him for what, 4 years?
4 years, yes, indeed, because this is real. By the way, we have our Respond, which is a great documentary, 2 hour, almost 1 hour, 57 minutes. It's available on our website, thestraightway.org, for those who are interested to go and watch it. It's on our homepage, and also it's available on YouTube under the title Revealing the Truth Behind the Muhammad Movie. Revealing the Truth Behind the Muhammad Movie. We encourage everybody to go and watch it. If you have a slow internet, it's put in small segment of 10 minutes. If you have a fast internet, you can just download the whole 1 hour, 57 minutes, and you can see everything was put in this 14-minute trailer. It is a true fact taught by the Quran and by Muhammad in throughout Muslim books. So anyway, very good point, Christy. Now, I want to read with us, I want to read the, do you have your Quran ready, Christy? If you don't,
yes.
If you don't have the Quran ready, okay. I want you to go to Quran chapter 19. Let's start with chapter 19 to read the story of the birth of Jesus. We're at Christmas, we celebrate Christmas, and our dear Muslim friends believe in the Quran. So let us read to them the story of the birth of Jesus from the Quran. And we're going to go to chapter 19 and chapter 3. Where I can show you not only the Quran story makes no sense. It's a joke. It's a comedy. Guys, if you're looking for a good time, here it is, coming up. I know we already spent half hour in our radio program, but I promise you, the next hour we're going to have lots of comedy, and I'm not saying jokes. I'm just going to read the Quran. Literally, I'm going to read the Quran, and I promise you, you're going to be laughing. Christy, you're not allowed to laugh, because if you laugh, that means you're insulting Allah, and you're insulting the Quran, and you're insulting Muhammad, so you cannot laugh. Only other people can laugh, because nobody can hear them when they laugh. You and I have to take it seriously, because we don't want to offend the Muslim people, so we have to be serious here, okay? Chapter 19, Christy, in the Quran, and I want you to start reading from verse 16. That is the story of the birth of Isa, not Jesus. That's not my Jesus. This has nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible. And the proof is in the, what we're going to be reading here. The proof is in the Quran. Are you ready, Chris?
Okay, I'm ready.
Go for it. Verse 16.
And, okay, starting with verse 16 of chapter 19 now. And remember in the book, Miriam, when she went apart from her family to an eastern place.
Oh, first of all, he's talking about book. What book here? It's supposed to be the Bible. It's supposed to be maybe the book of Matthew or maybe in the book of Luke, as we're going to read a little bit. So Allah is telling Muhammad to remember what is written about Mary as the story was given in the Bible. I'm sorry. First of all, Mary, she did not go anywhere in any Eastern place when she turned 18. You see, this could happen in America. If you live in Virginia and you turn 18 years old, you can always go to California and live on your own. Or maybe you go to New York. But in Mary's days, no girls leave their homes when they turn 18. And remember, according to the tradition, the church tradition, Mary was 15 years old. She was not even legally 18 yet to drive her car or to drive her camel and move to the east. So it does not work. The story so far is a boo-boo. We have a problem in the story of the Quran. Mary did not go anywhere to the east when she turned 18 or 28. Never. Never. People in Marian days, in the Bible, in the land of Judah, they did not go east. They did not go to the Mediterranean Sea when they turned 18 or 18 age. Okay? Verse 17. Go ahead, Christy.
Oops. Okay. So she took a veil apart from them. So we sent our spirit to her. So he appeared to her a normal human.
Oh, man. Not only she lived to the east, she went apart from everybody else. I don't know where she's going. I have no clue. But Allah here is speaking. So we as Allah, sent our spirit. Allah sent his spirit. Now, don't ask a Muslim what is the spirit here, because they have no clue, Christy. I know there is when you talk about the spirit of Allah in the Quran, as the great Muslim scholar tried to do the best to interpret the Quran, they come up with 19 explanations to what is the spirit of Allah. Most of them agree that the spirit of Allah is Angel Gabriel. That the majority of them said the spirit of Allah is Angel Gabriel. Now, let me ask a question. Remember when we talk about creation? I don't know if you remember this or not, Christy. When Allah breathed his spirit into Adam, did he breathe Gabriel into Adam? And notice what Allah said in the Quran. He said, Allah in the Quran said, when I put my spirit into him, all of you bow down and worship him. He's talking to all the angels. And Allah in the Quran said, so all the angels worshiped Adam except Satan. Jibreel bowed down to Adam. Jibreel cannot be God's spirit. With a small g here, Allah's spirit, because Jibreel could not go inside Adam to make him a living being. Adam did not have Jibreel in him. So the idea of some Muslims come right now and say, the spirit here is Angel Jibreel. No, my dear friend, the Quran never said that Allah sent Jibreel to Mary. Our spirit, the spirit of Allah, is not Angel Jibreel. Or how in the world you explain to me that Allah put his spirit into Adam? Did he put Jibreel inside Adam? Hello, my dear Muslim friend. So what do we learn here, Christy? Allah is speaking here. He sent his spirit to Mary, who just happened to appear to her as a normal human. A normal human, that's a man, two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears, 6 foot tall or maybe shorter, 200 pounds or maybe a little bit skinnier or a little bit fatter. Okay, I can go between 150 to 250 pounds. That is a normal human. If it's less than 150, it'll be so skinny, that's not normal. If it has three eyes or three legs or three ears, that's not normal. If it's too fat, 400, 500 pounds, that's not normal, okay? Now, what took place between this human who appeared to Mary and Mary? That is the rest of the story, beginning from verse 18. Go ahead, Christy.
She said, surely I seek refuge with the merciful from you if you were a fearer.
Aww.
He said,
she literally got a little bit scared here, you know, like, I seek refuge from Allah. Don't harm me. You know, stay away from me. She's actually seeking Allah's protection against this man. If he is not a good guy, he's a good guy, it's fine. How was the answer of this normal man?
He said, surely I am only a messenger of your Lord that I may grant to you a righteous son.
Oh, that's a wonderful verse. You know why? Because here Muhammad in the Quran is telling us that Jesus was a righteous son. Ghulaman zakiyan. Zakati al-khuluwa min al-ayub. So when you become a zakiyan, he does not have any wickedness or any evil or any bad thing. He was pure, righteous son. And that is the message which is this man, the normal man, was given to Mary. Now, I want you to put a piece of paper there, Christy, if you don't mind, to move on to another chapter, which is chapter 3. Let's see, okay. Is the Quran agree with the Quran? You know, it's very simple, guys. If I'm a Muslim and somebody comes to me and tell me chapter 19 of the Quran, and he tell me, hey, your chapter 19 disagree with the Bible. You know what my answer would be? It's very simple. Hey, your Bible is corrupted. Your Bible has been changed. So I'm going to go to chapter 3 and start from verse 42 to see. Is Allah's word in Quran chapter 19 agree with Allah's word in Quran chapter 3? Because if the Quran is inconsistency, maybe the Bible is corrupted. But if the Quran in chapter 19 disagree with the Bible chapter, in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, and then I go to the Quran somewhere else, it still disagree with the Bible. But then the Quran disagree with the Quran, we have a problem. If the Quran contradicts itself, then I know for sure it is not from Allah. Not because Usama Dakhil said so, no, because Allah in the Quran said so. You see, there's a very important verse in the Quran. Where Allah in this verse said, do they not consider the Quran? If it is from other than Allah, they will find in it many inconsistencies. You know, this is a very powerful verse in the Quran. If the Quran has any inconsistency, that means the Quran is not the perfect word of Allah. That means the Quran is not true. Are you following me so far, Christy? Not only because there's contradiction between the Bible and the Quran, I'm talking about contradiction between the Quran and the Quran.
Itself, yes, exactly.
Yes, indeed. That will put the Quran aside. Why? Because, I'm sorry. The Quran, I'm trying to get you the verse here, which Allah said in it, that you didn't consider the Quran, if it's from other than Allah, you'll find in it many inconsistencies. This is a very powerful verse. I have to share it with you guys. Let me give you where this verse come from. Okay, it is chapter 4, verse 82. I will read it to you here. Do they not consider the Quran? If it was from other than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies. Now, we read the conversation between Mary and the human, the normal human, which Muslims say it was Angel Jibreel, which I say, that's a baloney. The spirit of Allah is not Angel Jibreel, but it's okay. In chapter 19, now we're going to read the same story in chapter 3, beginning from verse 42. If there is inconsistency between chapter 3 and chapter 19, that means we put the Quran aside and it is not from Allah. What do we have in verse 42, Christy?
And when the angels said, Mary.
Whoa. Is it angel singular or angels plural?
No, this is plural.
with N. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What? Go ahead.
And when the angel said, Mary, surely Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the women of the world.
You know what's amazing? Why in the world Allah in the Quran said chosen you and chosen you twice in the same verse? I have no idea. Maybe Muhammad just likes the word chosen you. But there we see the conversation between Mary and the normal human. That's not true. It's not normal human. It is a bunch of angels. Now ask the Muslim question. Hello, my dear Muslim friend. I know you memorize the Quran. I know you do not understand any of the Quran writing. It's amazing. You see Pakistani Muslim, Bangladesh Muslim, Indonesian Muslim, British Muslim, and now American Muslim. They all memorize the Quran in Arabic, and they have no clue what the Quran says. And they have no clue what they're memorizing mean in the Arabic language. Here we see in chapter 3, verse 42, bunch of angels talking to Mary. And the conversation is completely different than that which we have read in chapter 19. O Mary, surely Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you above the woman of the world. Is that what we read in chapter 19? No.
No.
How about verse 43? Read verse 43.
Verse 43. O Mary, be devout towards your Lord and worship and kneel with the kneelers.
Really? Is that what the human told Mary there? No. How about 44?
This is from the unseen news that we reveal to you, and you were not with them when they cast their, oops, I don't know how to say that word, Usama. It means
the word pin, a clam. Okay.
A clam.
Mm-hmm.
Or which of them should take responsibility of Mary, and you were not with them when they disputed?
Do you have any idea who is talking to who here, and what in the world Muhammad is talking about in verse 44, Christy?
No.
But I have the answer. You see, I'm much smarter than you because I read the Muslim scholar's interpretation, and I love how Muhammad's imagination went far, far away, not just to Mary as a mother of Jesus, but Mary as a baby. You see, Muslim scholars said, when Mary was a baby, her daddy was one of the important priests, one of the righteous priests, and her daddy died. So the priest in the temple disputed among each other for who would take care of baby Mary. I mean, she's a little baby because her father was an important man, a righteous man. They all want to do him a favor and protect and nurture and take care of this little girl, Mary. So they decided, we're not going to argue with each other. We're not going to kill each other over this. Let everyone have a pin. And everyone have his own pin with his name on it or mark your pin, you know. And they will cast their pins, which is the word aqlam. It's a non-Arabic word, by the way. Muslims say the Quran does not have any but pure Arabic, any foreign word. 279 words, foreign words in the Quran, but that's okay. So they cast their aqlam, their pins, into the river. And they said, the pin will go against the water direction. Normally the water runs, you know, north to south or south to north. If all the pins go with the direction of the water except one, and this one will go in the opposite of the direction of how the water runs, this will be the pin of the person whom Allah chose to take care of Mary. So they did it. And guess who won the casting of the pin? It was Zachariah, John the Baptist's daddy. They said, wait a minute. Let's do it different. Let's do it one more time. This time, if all the pins go in the opposite direction of the water, except one will go with the waves of the water, this will be the one who will win Mary, and he will take care of baby Mary. And so they did it again. So they cast the pins again. And guess what? John the Baptist's daddy, Zechariah's pin, went with the water, and the other pin went the opposite direction of the water. Therefore, they said, okay, it is Allah who chose Zechariah to take care of Mary. Now, where do you think Mary lived during these years of her childhood, Christy Johnson? Give me a guess.
Well, I mean, you would guess, if that's what they're claiming, that she lived with Zechariah.
Where? In his house?
I don't know.
You don't know. See, you're like most Americans. I have no clue. No! She lived in the Holy of Holiness, in the mihrab.
Oh, my word.
How many ladies normally live inside the Holy of Holiness, Christy?
None.
How many men live in the Holy of Holiness?
Nobody. No. None.
How many priests live in the Holy of Holiness?
No priests live in the Holy of Holiness.
They don't have bedrooms there, or maybe a couch, or maybe a sleeping bag on the floor somewhere in the Holy of Holiness?
No, they don't.
My dear brothers and sisters, Al Mihrab, the Holy of Holiness, does not belong to anybody. There is no a hotel room there. There is no bedroom there. There is no kitchen there. It is a place for the high priest to enter one time every year. One time. And when the high priest goes there, they literally put a rope around his waist, and they put jingles, bells, around the robe of his clothes, in the edge of the robe of his clothes, in case he make a mistake. As he puts 7 drops of blood onto the altar, into the Ark of the Covenant, if he forgot or somehow made a mistake and dropped the drop number 8, this is what happened to him, Christy.
He dropped dead.
He dropped
dead. Died.
So Johnny and Mike go inside the Holy of Holies and carry him, and so they can go bury him. Does he do that?
No, they can't go in there. They have to pull him out with a rope.
Oh, man, Christy. So how in the world Virgin Mary, she was living in the mihrab? Do you know that inside the whole tent, women are not allowed to go anywhere? Anyway, so it's sad story. By the way, when you read the interpretation of the Ibn Kathir or Al-Qurtubi or somebody to how David saw Bathsheba when she was swimming, when she was taking a shower and she was naked, he looked from the window from inside the mihrab. Do you know that the Holy of Holies have a window there too, Christy?
Oh, goodness sakes, no.
Okay.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, that tells you that Muhammad was ignorant of the mihrab, the Holy of Holies, and Muslim scholars are so stupid, ignorant of anything about the Jews. This tent did not have any window. And if you look anywhere from the tent, you will not see anybody swimming, taking a shower. There's no window there. So anyway, so that is the interpretation to verse 44. Are you following me, Christy, so far?
I am, but I want to clarify for our listeners who may not be very familiar with this. What you're saying, Usama, as I understand it, is that what you're reading is what the Muslim scholars have written in Arabic. And because it's written in Arabic, there are not very many people who know what the Muslim scholars have said. And they explain this with things that are absolutely impossible. They could not be true.
And if you have any common sense about the Jewish culture, the Jewish tradition, you see that the story of Mary in chapter 3 and in chapter 19, it is nothing but a joke. But a joke. Now, read for me the following verse, verse 45 in chapter 3, Christine.
And when the angels said, O Mary, surely Allah gives you the good news with a word from him. His name is the Christ, Isa, son of Mary, exalted in this world and in the hereafter and of the nearer.
The good news is the word from Allah. See, Jesus is the word of Allah. Compare this to Quran chapter 4, verse 171. And there we will see that Jesus is the word of Allah. Not just a word from Allah, but he is the word of Allah and a spirit from Allah. So you see, Allah and his word and his spirit, that sounds like Trinity to me, Chris, isn't it? Allah, his spirit, and his word. By the way, his name is what? The Christ. Now, if you ask Muslim scholars, what does the word Al-Masih, the Christ, mean? They will tell you, the Christ is a man who travels from one place to another place. Tourist. Because the word yasih in Arabic means he go from here to there. A tourist is a person who yasih fil ard, means travel in the earth. But I'm sorry, the word is not yasih. The word is al-masih, al-mansuh, the anointed one. Christ is the anointed one. Anointed for what? For a job. What is a job? His name. To save his people from their sin. And we're going to read a little bit here from the Bible. So, what else about this Christ in verse 46?
The next one here in 46, hold on here. And he will speak to the people from the cradle and in his old age and of the good.
Man, oh man. We have two simple mistakes here. Jesus did not spoke from the cradle, and Jesus did not live to be old. The tongue to be of his old age. The word old age here, Christy, in the Arabic language is kahlan. And kahlan literally is the person who is so old. A friend of mine, his name is Samuel from Egypt. used to say, this guy is so old, he's taking a vacation from the cemetery. You know what I mean? He's already been buried, but he's just going out for vacation, and he's going back anytime. So that's the word kahl, real old. I mean, in our age today here, people who live 107, 108, that is the word kahl. Okay? Now, did Jesus spoke as a baby in the cradle?
No.
Did Jesus live to be old? Did Jesus live to be old to speak in old age?
No, because he was crucified at the age of 33.
Oh,
and died.
Tell me, Chris. Guys, this is a serious problem. Because as we go back to chapter 19 right now and read the same conversation, but here in chapter 19 is not a bunch of angels speaking to Mary, but just one guy, which is a normal human. And he will tell her almost the same word. And then Mary, in verse 20, she's going to ask a question, which we're going to go back to chapter 3 to hear the same question. But the answer in 21, in 19:21, will be completely a different answer than the answer of whomever she's talking to in chapter 3. Because now, at the time when she and he is talking in chapter 3 at this point, after she was given the good news, she'll have a baby, is no longer a bunch of angels, but a single guy. How? I have no idea. Muhammad changed his mind. So let's go to chapter 19, if you don't mind, Christine. And
I think we're on verse 20.
Yes.
Yeah, where do you want me to go?
Verse 19, 19, and 20, and down from there. Chapter 19, verse 19.
Okay, and I do need to say we do have a caller, and
sure,
they may have a question or a comment, and we'll get to them in just a minute. And caller, just hold.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, so here we are. Verse 19, in 19 again, we went back to 19. He said, surely I am only a messenger of your Lord, and that I may grant you a righteous son. And verse 20, she said,
mm-hmm,
how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was not unchaste?
All right.
He said,
it's a very similar question from Virgin Mary. How can I have a son and I'm a virgin? I never have any children. I never have a husband or a wife. Therefore, there's no way you can tell me that I'm going to have a baby. Now, let's go to chapter 3 and read verse 47. Because it is a common sense. I mean, in verse 46 and 45 and verse 46 in chapter 3, the angel or the angels, which is a bunch of them, are speaking to Mary, and they tell her she will have a baby, and his name will be the Christ, and he will speak from the cradle, and he will speak in old age. The normal question Mary will ask here in verse 47 is what?
She said, Lord, how can I have a son when no man has touched me?
Same question. Wait a minute. She said, Lord, or she said, hello, bunch of angels.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
But, guys, it's very seriously. In verse 42, when the angels said to Mary, in verse 45, when the angels said to Mary, now in verse 47, she said, Lord. Is she talking to a one Lord or a bunch of angels?
Yeah.
And listen to the answer of this Lord in the rest of verse 47. He said what?
He said, likewise Allah creates what he will. When he makes a command, so surely he only says to it, be, and it will be.
Allah creates what he will. See, Mary asked a simple question. How can I have a son when no man has touched me? I never had such a relationship with any man. I'm a virgin. The answer of the Lord, which used to be a bunch of angels in the previous verses, he said what? Likewise, Allah creates what he will. That means Jesus was created by Allah. That's not what we Christians believe. We believe that Jesus is the creator of all things. Go to John 1 and 1, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and 3. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. But in verses 2 and 3, in John 1:1, we see that the Word is the creator of all things. And this Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus, the Christmas which we celebrate here in a few days, it is the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Word, becoming flesh, and we celebrate His birth in the flesh. But Allah did not create Jesus. If Allah is God, therefore, He cannot say here He created Jesus. See, that is a great evidence from inside the Quran that this Allah is not our God. For we do not say, we do not believe that Jesus was created by God. No. Jesus is God, the Word who became flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh. Jesus is the creator of all things. But I want you to concentrate for a minute here, Christian. He said, first Mary asked the question, how can I have a son when no man has touched me? That is Quran chapter 3, verse 47. The answer in the same verse, he said, likewise, Allah creates what He will. When He makes a command, so He surely only say to it be, so it will be. Really? Now, let's read the same answer for the same question in chapter 19. Remember, I mean, it is a common sense in verse 20. She said, chapter 19 and verse 20, Mary said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I was not unchaste? Listen to the answer. It's supposed to be the same answer. The question is a little bit different, I know. Muhammad forgot what he said early. If you remember, he would put the same question. But listen to the answer of the normal man who appeared to Mary as a normal human in verse 21. Chapter 19, verse 21. What did Allah said in this verse? The answer of this normal man was what, Christine? Verse 21.
He said, likewise, your Lord says, it is easy for me, and we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us. And it was a decreed matter.
Is this the same words we read in chapter 3?
No.
There's not even two words the same. So no. Which one of these two sentences was said to Mary? Was the normal man or was a bunch of angels or just one Lord now? We changed from bunch of angels to one Lord. How in the world Muslim can answer this? Was this two different conversations to two different Mary, to two different Isa, two different Jesus? Or it is one story repeated in the Quran and Muhammad forgot completely what he said earlier. That's why we come up with a new story of the birth of Jesus Christ in the Quran. That is a contradiction. And I'm sorry, if I will open the Quran and I read what Muslims told me in chapter 4 and verse 82, do they not consider the Quran? If it was from other than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies. Christy Johnson, I'm sorry, chapter 3 does not agree with chapter 19 concerning the question of Mary and the answer of the normal man or the angels. There are two complete different stories. There are many inconsistencies. Because the word of Mary, as you just read it, Christy, I'm going to ask you to read chapter 19 and verse 21 one more time. And in the same time, I'm going to stop you as I'm going to read what the angel said in chapter 3 and verse 47 to see, are they the same or not? You read. He said what?
He said, likewise, your Lord says, it is easy for me, and
stop
we will make...
Stop for a second. I have here in chapter 3, verse 47, he said, likewise, Allah creates what He will. Do you have any of these words in your passage at all, Christy?
No, I don't.
Read the next part.
And we will make him a sign to the people and a mercy from us.
Here he said, when he, that Allah, makes a command, so he surely only say to it, be, so it will be. Is it the same answer?
No, it's not.
We have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Go ahead, Christy, give us the caller. I would love to answer this wonderful friend or person who's calling us. And perhaps
okay.
We'll come back to continue with our story.
And we'll come back. Okay, this caller, your last four numbers are 5350, and you are on the air with us right now. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Christy, Sam, how are you doing?
Hey, doing okay. Who's my caller?
This is Jeff. I'm from Mississippi.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
I'm a little bit confused. I have a connected question, actually two questions. I'd like to make them as clear and concise as possible so you can understand. I'm having a little bit of problem hearing Hassan, but I'll try and hear him once I get off the air. The two questions are, first, I understand that the Muslims, the faith shows charity, friendship, and faith, and forgiveness to all other religions until they're in strength, and then they demand that you become a Muslim or sacrifice your life. And if this is a fact, if I'm understanding this correctly, maybe I'm showing my ignorance about the Bible, but is this possible that this is how that the one world religion is going to come about, which will foretell our coming of our Lord? And I'll take the answer off the air.
What is your second question, brother?
That was my second question. Could this possibly be the way that this is they're going to be the one world religion and foretell the second coming of our Lord?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll take the answer off the air.
Sure. It's a very excellent question, and a lot of people have been asking me this question in different places as we travel to speak all over this country. The taqiyya in Islam is a Muslim who are befriending the unbelievers. The Quran is very clear. You go to Quran chapter 5, verse 51, Allah said, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. That is not a verse that requires negotiation, or should we do it, should we not. No. The Quran is very clear. Allah does not allow Muslims to take any Christians or any Jews for friends. This is no brain. This is the reality of Islam. But and if you read the Quran, it'll tell you why. Because some people say, well, you're taking this verse out of context. That's not what Allah said. No. He said, oh, you believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. That's the end of the story. It does not require any brain, because Allah said there, for they are friends to one another. Whoever among you takes them for a friend, so surely he is one of them. Allah will not guide the unjust people. Now, so if you take a Christian for a friend, you become a Christian. If you take a Jew for a friend, you become a Jew. And that's not what Muslims are commanded to be. They cannot be a Jew or a Christian. Now, I'm talking to you at the same time. I'm trying to open the second verse, which is come from the Quran about taking the infidels for friends. Go to Quran chapter 3, verse 28. This is known by Muslims, the verse of taqiyya. Taqiyya is protection. How I protect myself from you. And in it, Allah said, believers do not take infidels for friends, rather than the believers. And there's a space there, and then he said, you should guard yourself from them, your fear of him, Allah. Now, in the interpretation of this verse by the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalali, he said, that means, أَيْتَخَافُوهُمْ مَخَافَةٌ فَلَكُمْ مَوْلَكُمْ بِلِسَانٍ دُونَ قَلْبٍ. If you're afraid of them, you can be friends with them with your tongues, but not with your heart. وَهَذَا قَبْلَ عِزَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And that is before Islam becomes strong and mighty in the land, okay? وَيُجْرَى فِيمَنْ هُوَ فِي بَلَدْ لَيْسَ قُوِيًا فِيهَا. And this can be practiced when Muslims are living in a land or in a country, they're not strong in it. They're not strong in it. Now, Muslims who claim to be, they do the charity, and they have the faith, and they do forgiveness, and they love the Christian, and they love the Jew, and they love the Buddhist, and they love the Gnostic. I mean, go attend any of this interface meeting. And you see Muslims so friendly, so loving, they're much better than any Christian who will ever join this club. Why? Because they pretend to be good and charitable and they have the faith and the love, blah, 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 blah. This is, my dear brothers and sisters, only when Muslims are weak, when Muslims do not have the upper hand. Read what Allah said in Quran chapter 47, 35, a very powerful verse. And I wish American people would open the Quran and read this. Quran chapter 47, verse 35, Allah says, so do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. The interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, he said, لا تضعفوا عن الأعداء لا تهنوا أي لا تضعفوا عن الأعداء. Do not be weak with the enemies. وتدعوا إلى السلم أي المعادلة. And you call into peace or cease of war. ووضع القتال بينكم وبين الكفار في حالة قوتكم وقصرت عددكم وعددكم. Which means the what? If you are fighting with infidel in your strength, if you have enough strength and you have enough power in a number of soldiers and in the weapon of war, do not cease and do not stop and have a hudna, a peace time. It's time for you to continue to kill your enemy until he wipes them out. But then this is the verse is very simple. Is the kind of kuffar feel quwa wa kasra? If the infidels have strength and a large number of soldiers, then nizbe ila jamia al muslim, comparing to the Muslims, wara'a imam fil muhadana wal mu'ahada maslaha, and the leaders of the war, the leaders of the Muslims, find out, well, if we have cease of war, if we have cease of fire, that means this would be good for the Muslims because they're weak. فَلَهُ أَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ كَمَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Then the leaders of Muslims can do that as the messenger of Allah Muhammad did. حِيْنَ صَدَّ كُفَّارُ قُرَيْشٍ عَنْ مَكَّةٍ. When the infidel of Quraysh go against him when he was in Mecca, وَدَعُوهُ إِلَى الصُّلْحِ, and when they call him into reconciliation, وَوَضَعَ الْحَرْبَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ فَأَجَابَ مَعَ ذَلِكَ. When they have peace between him, between them, that is the infidel of Quraysh, and Muhammad for 10 years. 10 years, Muhammad has a hudna, a cease of war, a cease of fire, a cease of fight, for 10 years. What happened in the 11 years? He came back to Mecca, and he killed all the Jews, and he killed all the Christians, and he cleaned the country for good. And from the days of Muhammad until today, you'll never see a Jew or a Christian in Mecca. That is the reality. So Muslims are, with all the charity and the love and the faith and blah, 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 that is what we call taqiyya. Guys, I read you only two verses, and I gave you the interpretation of Jalalayn and Ibn Kathir. And the topic can go on and on and on. And believe it or not, the one world order, as our dear friend asked in the second question, it will happen. It's about to come. But this will be when things go real bad. And then you're going to get to this Antichrist who's going to play the role of peace to bring peace between the Jews and the Muslim and the Christian. And there's so many theories out there about who's going to be the Antichrist. But I believe whenever you see somebody who's doing the interfaith meetings, or believe in the interface that we all can get along and we all can love each other and we all can get in harmony, that is a great sign for the Antichrist, because he is the one who brings peace between us. And the one world order and the one world religion, for sure, I believe, will be Islam. For there are more Muslims in planet Earth than any other cult out there. The true number of Christians, as Jesus always taught us, I know, many people say, oh, we Christians are the largest. I mean, ask United Nations, for heaven's sake. United Nations will tell you Islam is the second largest religion in the world. And if you ask them why, the United Nations will tell you because Christianity is number one. With all respect, I doubt there are 10.5% or 11% Christian in the world. I doubt it. But I know for sure there are 20%+ Muslims in the world. That means Muslims are already twice as more than Christians. So the idea that any other cult will be out there to take the role of the one world or religion, it is not going to be but Muslims. They're growing up in America. They're growing up in Australia. they're growing up in Canada, they're growing up in Europe, then you can imagine. Simply because even if not many American or Australian or Canadian become Muslim, there are plenty of Muslim babies are born every day. They grow like rabbits. The rabbit have 10 babies, Muslim have 50 babies. So think about
it. Because they also believe in having multiple wives and no birth control, so they really are.
Right now
yes,
we have
and
million,
it's happening right now.
We have 10 million Muslims in America. Wait until Obama, within the next 3-4 years, he will assure you that Muslims, as a gay and lesbian, have the right to get married, and it will be legal in all over the United States of America states where the gay and lesbian have the right to get married. And now we cancel the marriage. It's no longer a union between one man and one wife. It's actually between anybody and everybody. Any two things move or 5-6 things move, they can have good time together in bed. They can have one certificate. That's called group marriage. It's already in Europe. As a matter of fact, we have a Jewish lady in Denmark married to her own dolphin. I mean, married to animals. What more than that you need? So if you change the Constitution of America, the marriage between a man and a woman, to anybody and everybody, like gay and lesbian and everybody else, therefore Muslims will have their four wives, and you'll be surprised. America will have 50 million, 100 million in just a couple, 3 generations. I say this for sure. So yes, one world religion will be Islam, because they will continue to grow more than rabbits. Let's go back to, I hope we answer your question, our dear friend, and thanks for your call. If I missed your question, I didn't answer right, please come back again and correct me for what I've said. Otherwise, we'll move on with our study. Chrissy, we're still in the story of the birth of Jesus Christ as it is written in the Quran. We found out so many contradictions, so many errors. Lord have mercy. How the world Muslim can tell me that the Quran is the word of Allah if it contradicts itself? We'll go back to chapter 19.
Yeah, because we got even more strange stuff coming up.
the comedy is about to come. The comedy is about to start. We're in chapter 19, and we're going to go to verse 22, chapter 19.
So she conceived him, so she withdrew with him to a remote place. So
she was already in a remote place. What? She went east and she went to a remote place, and she is now have the birth of Jesus Christ, Isa, son of Muhammad, son of Allah, son of Mary. I'm sorry, I'm getting myself confused here. Isa, son of Mary. Now she carried him to a further away place. What is the purpose? She's saying California. What's wrong with California? Anyway, verse 23.
So the pain of childbirth came upon her by the trunk of a palm tree.
Whoa. Sorry for a minute. I did not read this anywhere in the Bible. Have you?
No.
I mean, that's common sense. A mother, a single mama, with nine months pregnancy, by herself, in the wilderness, under a palm tree? What is in the world going on in Muhammad's head when you're writing the story to this, like this to us? Mary is about to have a baby Jesus by herself under a palm tree. Is any human around her there? I mean, she's by herself? Okay. Keep reading the rest of the verse, Christy.
She said, "Oh, I wish that I had died before this, and I was forgetting.
Forgotten, forgetting? This is a good English. I love it. In Arabic, wa kuntu nasyan mansiyan. What in the world nasyan mansiyan means? Forgotten, forgetting. Anyway, so she's in pain here, or she is ashamed of herself, or hundreds of interpretation by Muslim scholars. She wished to die because the pain of the birth, or because she does not know what in the world she's going to do. She's going to have a baby. Oh, people are going to say things about her. They're going to accuse her that she committed adultery. 24. Go ahead.
So he called her from below her. Do not grieve. Indeed, your Lord has made a creek under you.
Who in the world is talking under Mary here? You know what's amazing? Some Muslim scholars said that was Angel Jibreel. Really? He cannot talk to us but from below her? I mean, that Angel Jibreel had to go under her legs, and kneel down there, and he talked to her from below her? No. That was baby Jesus. Remember what we read in chapter 3? That he will speak from the cradle and of old age. So here
yes.
we go, baby Jesus, after he came out of her belly, after Virgin Mary had the birth to baby Isa, he's speaking to her immediately. And he said, what? Do not grieve. Indeed, your Lord has made a creek under you. A creek? Why, she was thirsty? She needs some water? Go ahead. Next verse, Christy. Verse 25.
And shake the trunk of the palm tree towards you. It will drop fresh, ripe dates on you.
Man, oh man, this is beautiful. Tribute. Have you of you, Christy, I know you have 4 children of your own.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about after you have the birth of one of your children is to go outside and shake a trunk of a palm tree?
No, I really didn't feel like shaking a palm tree.
Any of the ladies with us in the chat room when we got punches in tonight, if any of you ladies, after you have a childbirth to one of your children, felt like so strong, like this green man or whatever you call him, the $6 million man or one of these movies we watched, Spider-Man or Superman, whatever it is. Superman, yeah, the best one of this is going to be Superman or Incredible. You know, remember how strong Incredible was? Can you go out and shake a trunk of a palm? Guys, the principle, a trunk of a palm tree is not a small tree to be shaking. And especially when it has date in it, that means it's a little bit bigger one. And then it will drop, when Mary shakes the trunk of the palm tree, it will drop on her ripe date so she can eat, okay? Now, you know what's amazing, Christy? So far, it's not even funny. Why? Listen to the interpretation of Muslim scholars. Some of the Muslim scholars will tell us, the miracle is not Mary shaking the trunk of the palm tree. The miracle is that this tree was headless. Headless means a dead tree. Headless means cannot have ripe date in it. But because Allah wanted to feed her from this dead tree without head, she just had to shake it and the ripe date will fall on her. That is the greatest miracle than just a woman to shake after she had a childbirth, to shake any tree. It was dead tree, Christy Johnson. No head, no leaves. It is, the head is broken out, but even still, Allah will provide to Mary a right date out of it. Don't you see how miraculous this is?
It sounds very weird to me. I'm sorry. It doesn't sound miraculous. I don't want to eat dates from a dead tree.
Okay, here's the answer. I don't know if you have seen this before or not, Christy. It is fairy tales, fairy tales, fairy tales, fairy tales, fairy tales. That's like veggie tales, but that's a fairy tale. That is Muhammad Quran, ladies and gentlemen. That is the holy word of Allah. Now, baby Jesus speaking from below Virgin Mary and ask her to shake a dead tree or even a live tree and ripe date will fall on her. So now she got the creek of water, and she got the deed. And that's why she should not grieve, and that's why she should not be sorrowful. How about verse 26?
So eat and drink and please the eye. So if you see any human, so say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful, so I will not talk to any human today.
Man, oh man. Eat and drink. If you eat, are you any longer fasting, Christy Johnson?
No, fasting would mean you're not eating.
Okay, if you drink, that does make you any longer fasting, Christy Johnson?
No, that means
so
you're not
you
fasting.
So if you eat and you drink, will this make you any longer fasting?
No, then you're not fasting.
But see, Jesus here, Jesus, the Isa of Muhammad, told his mother, So eat and drink and please the eye. And if you see, so if you see in human, so say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful. But Muslim scholars there got a little bit smart. You know why, Christy? They said Mary, she was not fasting of eating and drinking, but she was actually fasting of talking. Why? Listen to this is the verse. Because she said what? So I will not talk to any human today. Well, let me think again for a minute here. So if you see any human, so say, surely I have vowed a fast to the merciful, so I will not talk to any human today. She is going to say, I have vowed a fast to the merciful, so I will not talk to any human today. And she is fasting of talking, Christy Johnson. How do you like that?
Well, how are you going to fast of talking if you're going to be talking to them?
But she's only going to say one sentence.
But that's not fasting of talking. That's talking.
Man. So somebody help me. Where are our dear Muslim friends? Why don't you, if you're not with us tonight and you listen to this radio broadcast during the next 2 months, would you please join us in the future to come to our radio program at Saturday night between 10 to 12? And I beg you, I really mean it. I'm not trying to be silly or being ridiculous. If you're a Muslim and you can join us in the future, and you can call us on this number, 347-857-1380. I know many of you, our dear Muslim friends, listen to this broadcast during the week. 347-857-1380. Would you please call us on Saturday night, any Saturday night, and give me an answer for all the questions I brought so far in this in the last hour concerning the story of Jesus in the Quran. Because, I'm sorry, all I see in it is nothing but a fairy tale. It's a joke. Your Quran is a joke. Because simply, your Quran is full of error. One error of the Lord. I mean, I can't help it but to laugh, because that's not the story of my Jesus. This is a joke. So, 27, Christy. We're running out of time here. 27.
So she came to her people with him, carrying him. They said, "Oh, Mary, indeed, you have brought a strange thing."
Whoa, shame on you, girl. What is this boy you got here? You went away for 9 months and you're coming home with a baby? Go ahead, verse 28.
"Oh, sister of Aaron, your father was not an evil man, and your mother was not unchaste."
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that Muhammad thought that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the same Maryam, the sister of Moses and Aaron? Yes, indeed. Let me prove it to you. I know someone say, no, you got it wrong. No, I did not got it wrong. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen to what Allah said in the Quran, chapter 66, verse 12. And I'm going to read it because we're out of time here, Christy. "And Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her private part." So we breathe into it from our spirit, and she believed in the words of her Lord and his book. And she was among the obedient. Mary who? The daughter of Imran. Mary, the daughter of Imran, which Muhammad wrote the wrong name here, A-M-R-A-N, supposed to be end with the letter M, A-M-R-A-M. That's the wrong name for the daughter, for Mary, the mother of who? Of Isa? No. That's the man, the sister of Moses and Aaron. And if you go to the Quran, you will see he also, Muhammad, gave the wrong name to Moses, for he made him Moses, son of Imran, A-M-R-A-N, same name he gave to Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, her father was not Imran, but actually his name is Heli. Heli, go to the Bible, Luke chapter 3, and you read that Mary was the daughter of Heli. But what's amazing is this verse, Christy. Between 66, verse 12, and the verse you just read in chapter 19, Mary, sister of Aaron, or Mary, daughter of Imran, Muhammad was confused between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary, the sister of Moses and Aaron, and the distance between them was only 1,550 years. That's a long time. Muhammad made a boo-boo. But another very important piece. just got a phone call before this radio broadcast. A friend, she asked, how did Mary got pregnant in the Quran? I said, very simple. Allah breathed his spirit into Mary's private part. Here it is again. So we, Allah, breathed into it. What is it? Her private part. This is again. And Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her private parts. Okay? So we breathe into it. What? The private part. From our spirit. And she believed in the word of her Lord. That's how Mary got pregnant. Allah breathed his spirit into her vagina. I'm sorry. That is nothing but sickness in the head of Muhammad and all Muslims who believe in such life. Now, go back to chapter 19. And amazing. Verse 29. Go ahead, Chris.
So she pointed to him. They said, how can we talk with him who was in the cradle, an infant?
Keep going.
He said, surely I am the servant of Allah. He gave me the book and made me a prophet.
Man, oh man.
And
when Mary carried baby Jesus and went to her folks, her family, see, shame on you, Sister Fern. You committed adultery in a simple word. Shame on you. She appointed to Jesus and said, well, he will tell you. And they ask a question. He cannot tell us. He's just a baby in the cradle. But he will go, baby Jesus, sit on his side, put his head on his chin on his arm, as Muslims give you the clear interpretation of this verse, as if they were there, seeing him by his eye, by their eyes. And Jesus said, what? Surely I am the servant of Allah. He gave me the book and made me a prophet. Really? What else, baby Jesus? Tell us in verse 31 and 32.
And he made me blessed whenever I was and was commanded with the prayer and with the legal alms as long as I live, and to be righteous to my mother. And he has not made me arrogant, miserable.
Can you imagine a baby, a month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, who speak this wonderful sentence and blah, 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 blah. I mean, literally, this is like, guys, that is the Quran. That is the Quran. And sadly, Muslim people believe in the birth of Jesus and the story of Jesus, which is known to them to be Isa, son of Mary. As we listen to this life, not only the Quran contradicts the story of the Bible, as we're going to see in the next few minutes here, but the Quran contradicts the Quran. I beg you, my dear Muslim friends, read Quran chapter 19 and read Quran chapter 3 and read the verses, the words, the conversation between Mary and the human or Mary and the angels. And Mary's question, how can I have a son? And the answer of the human who spoke to her, or the answer of the Lord, which used to be a bunch of angels previously. And too many error, too many contradictions. I can't help but to say it is nothing but a fairy tale. Do me a favor, Christy, because we're running out of time here. I'd like to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And let's read from beginning from verse 18.
Okay.
Book of Matthew, chapter 1.
I got you.
Beginning from verse 18. Let's get to the true account of the birth of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, not the fairy tale of Muhammad in the Quran.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Wait a minute. Mary have a fiancé? His name is Joseph? Why Muhammad never mentioned Joseph anywhere in the Quran? Well, she was traveling with him when she went to the east, or she was going by herself? Where is Joseph in the Quran? So now Mary was engaged to Joseph, and she was found to be pregnant. And what did Joseph do in verse 19?
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately.
It's very simple. If Joseph goes to the priest in the temple or some of the leaders of any synagogue, say, hey, this is my fiancée, We have never been married. I have not had sex relationship with her, and she's pregnant. They will take her outside the city, and they will stone her to death. So he was a righteous man. He said, he wanted to go in privately. Nobody hear about it. Nobody knew anything about it. She's going her way. He's going his way, and that's it. The engagement is broken. It's over. Verse 20.
But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
See, the angel of the Lord, God himself, that's a capital L-O-R-D. When it goes about the angel of the Lord, it is always God himself. Speaking here. It's not just a dream. We're not talking about hallucination here. He was worried about it in his head. He went to bed and he slept and he had a dream. No, God is speaking to Joseph. And he said what? Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. Why? Because she's not pregnant. She never committed adultery with another guy and got pregnant. She is pregnant with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? Verse 21. Here is another God is about exposing a lie by Muhammad throughout the Quran. What did verse 21 say, Christy?
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Muhammad throughout the Quran, he named Jesus what? Isa. A non-Arabic word without any meaning. If you look in my Arabic Bible here, which is فَسَتَلِدْ إِبْنًا وَتَدْعُ إِسْمَهُ يَسُوَّ لِأَنَّهُ يُخَلِّ الشَّعْبُ خَطَانٍ. She will have a son, she will bring forth a son, and you shall name him Yeshua, Savior. See, the name match the job which Jesus came to do. Jesus did not come to earth to perform some miracles. And by the way, the first miracle Jesus performed, Christy, can you tell me which one it was?
Is when he was at the wedding and turned the water into wine.
How old was Jesus then?
He was 30 years old.
You know what? If you go to school with all the fabrication of Muhammad and all the Muslim scholars all over the Quran, you see Jesus performed so many miracles. If we have time, I'm going to share with you when he's a child. Literally. Many miracles. I mean, talking like a baby is a miracle to me. Isn't it true, Christy? Can you imagine having a baby come out of your belly and start talking to you and teach you to lie? It's amazing. The righteous son, Jesus, the first thing come out of his mouth, he's literally asking his mama to lie. Why in the world Jesus asked his mother to lie? Does this make any sense to you? A righteous son teaches his mama to lie? Eat and drink. And if you see anybody say, I'm fasting, I'm sorry. That's nonsense whatsoever. So here we go. So the birth of the child, the name of the child, the life of this child, all perfectly fit together. Jesus is God Almighty who came to this world in the flesh. He came to save us, to save his people from what? From their sin. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus was birthed. You know why many people in the West now, they don't like to say Merry Christmas? They don't want to put Christ in this time. They don't want him to come. They refuse him as king for their life. They refuse him as Lord. They refuse him as Savior. And because of their sin, they don't want to see anything to do in Christmas with the birth of Christ. They don't want it. They don't. And I guarantee you, do you know that I've been watching in every Easter, which is a wrong, funny name. I saw the word Easter means resurrection. No, every resurrection of every year. Guess what we watch on TV? The movie of Moses. What in the world Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea have to do with the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? And they were so happy to watch the crossing of the Red Sea, Moses, the Ten Commandments. For heaven's sake, are you Christians in this country that stupid? You do not know the difference between the resurrection of Jesus and the crossing of the Red Sea and the Ten Commandments? So, America rejecting the birth of Jesus, and America rejecting the cross of Jesus, and America rejecting the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they are sinful and they don't want to accept Christ the Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. And the only reason most Americans, the liberals in this country and the atheists in this country, hated Christmas because they don't want Jesus to be the Savior. His name is Yeshua. Yeshua means Savior. And he came to do one thing, to save you and I from our sins. And why is that, Christy? Can you tell me what God said in verse 22?
In verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold."
That is the prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian faith is not something invented by some disciples of Jesus or some apostle 2,000 years ago. The greatness of Jesus is not just what has been fulfilled 2,000 years ago, but the greatness even goes deeper to what has been prophesied about him as he came to our world. This is not coincidence. This was already planned and ordained and has been prophesied by many prophets in the Bible. Here we're talking about prophet Isaiah. That is 2,700 years ago, which is actually 700 years before Christ came in flesh. What did Isaiah say in his prophecy in verse 23, Christy?
"Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us."
That is a prophecy. You know, when I look at the prophecies of the Old Testament, literally many of these prophecies make no sense. Make no sense. Because listen to this. "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child." Excuse me, a virgin shall be with a child. How can a virgin be with a child?
Doesn't make sense.
To be with a child, you must have sexual relationship. And to have sex with a man to get pregnant, it means you're no longer a virgin. You're a woman. But the Bible is very clear. Isaiah wrote this, and he was not drunk. He knows it's a prophecy is given to him, and he wrote it. And I wonder if Isaiah scratched his head once or twice, say, "What in the world I brought here?" But the Holy Spirit commanded Isaiah to write this 700 years before Christ came in the flesh. And the command is very clear. Write it down. What? "A virgin shall be with a child, and she bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel." See, look at this. They're going to call him God is with us, Emmanuel. See, Emmanuel in the Hebrew language should mean what? God is with us.
Amen.
How can God be with us if this is a baby? See, this baby is not a normal baby. He's the son of God. And his name here, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, is God with us. What a wonderful prophecy. What a wonderful prophecy. Written by Isaiah, 700 years before Christ came in the flesh. Go ahead, read the last two verses, Chris.
"Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus."
I know some of our dear Catholic friends love Virgin Mary and have a very high respect for Virgin Mary, and anybody should. But I don't want to say things to her or about her or adding to the Scripture or contradicting the Scripture. Virgin Mary was married to Joseph, and Joseph took Mary as his wife, as the angel of the Lord commanded him. The order from God is, you marry her. And he took his wife, the Bible said. But he did not have sexual relationship with her until she born her firstborn son. After she had her firstborn, she had her second son and third son. And we know that James, the brother of the Lord, is Jesus' brother from his mother and from the stepdad, Joseph. We know this for a fact. He did not know her until, you know what until mean here? Until means what come after this contradicts what come before. If he says he never know her, he never had sex with her, that would be it. But when you say until or till, that means what come after till is the opposite of what come before until. Which means what? He did have sexual relationship with her, and she had wonderful children, and James is one of them who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 6:9, Christy. Let's look at another prophecy. Isaiah 6:9. That's for our dear Muslim friends who do not know what or who is Jesus. They literally have no clue what we're reading here in the Bible. They have no idea. They think we just made this up. As a Christian fabricated story for their Jesus. No. So Isaiah 9:6.
Isaiah 6:9?
No, chapter 9, verse 6.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get my books together here. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and it is well known. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
That is a prophecy, given by Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, concerning Christmas, which sadly we Americans are rejecting today. Jesus, which we celebrate his birthday today, this week, is God Almighty. His name, listen about his name, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the world need peace, and they will cry for peace, but they will not know peace, and there will never be peace, because they rejected the Prince of Peace, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, this is the reality of what is Christmas is. It is the Word became flesh. I want you to go with me, Christy, if you don't mind, to the book of John, chapter 1. And verse 1. Let's read the first, just few verses. I'm not going to get in depth there. The book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and 3, and then we'll read verse 14 one last time.
Okay, we got it. All right. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
That is the Word of God. I know Muslims say in Quran chapter 4, verse 171, that Jesus is the Word of God, the Word of small g God, the Word of Allah, and a spirit from him. We saw how Mary got pregnant when Allah breathed his spirit into her vagina. And we know from the Quran that he said that she would receive this good news of the word from Allah. But they did not understand what they're talking about. See, Muhammad was influenced somehow by John 1, 2, and 3, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. But he had no idea. We're talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. This Word was with God from the beginning, and this Word, which is God, created everything in verse 3. All things were made by him. By who? By the Word. And without him was not anything was made. That made was made. Everything is, if you go outside right now and you look at the moon and the stars, you wake up tomorrow morning and you look at the sun and all the universe we have outside there, all this was made by the Word of God. You don't believe me? Why don't you go read John chapter 1? Genesis chapter 1. And in the beginning, Elohim, God, that's plural, created the heaven and the earth. Verse 3, God said. Verse 6, God said. Verse 9, God said. Verse 18, God said. Verse 26, 24, God said. That is the spoken Word of God, which brought everything to existence. When we say in the beginning, how many beginnings there is in the universe? There's only one beginning. Genesis 1 is the same beginning as John 1 in the beginning. The creation of the world, everything in the world came to exist by the spoken word of God. And now let's see the living word of God in John chapter 1 and verse 14. What happened to this word?
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Jesus Christ is the word of God who became flesh. He came to this world. He emptied himself. Philippians teaches that. I don't have time to get to Philippians, Christy, if you don't mind. Let's go to Philippians quickly, please.
Oops.
Because when you look at the scripture in terms of the scripture, and we see in the scripture that Jesus is the word of God who became flesh. He became flesh to what? To save us. How he saved us? When he took our place as a substitute on the cross. The Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Can you read for me Philippians chapter 2, if you don't mind, Christy?
Uh-huh. Where do you want me to start?
Beginning from verse 5.
Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Keep going.
But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men.
Keep going, one more verse. Keep going.
And
being
found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
So that's the reality. Jesus is God, and he emptied himself and take a form of human like me and you, and he came to be in flesh, to be human, to do what? To live in obedience to God and to die on the cross for you and I. That's why God said in verse 9 that God also has highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every of everything in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess to what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, my dear Muslim friends, is not a man, and we Christian made a God. No, Jesus is God Almighty, who chose to humble himself and take a form of a man. God the Word is eternal. God the Spirit is eternal. The Word of God was never created, and you Muslim believe in that, and you Muslim know that the Word of God is eternal, and the Spirit of God is eternal. No one can change the Word of God, and the living Word of God is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who took flesh, who became flesh. He is from the beginning, and he will be forevermore. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He came to save us from our sins. That's why he was given the name Yeshua, the Arabic Yeshua, Savior. And that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not about the Christmas tree or the Christmas decor or the Christmas gift or the Christmas, all the things we made it here in America. Christmas is the birth of Jesus. Christy, I know your dad has passed away a long time ago. Do you still celebrate his birthday?
I still recognize it, but I don't celebrate it, no.
Why you stop celebrating your daddy's birthday?
Because my dad is no longer alive, and,
Your daddy died. Now, did Jesus die?
Yes, but Jesus rose again.
Why would
yes, we do.
Because
he is still alive, and he is
Amen.
The Son of God.
those of this world who do not want to celebrate Christmas, do not want to celebrate the birth of Christ because they do not know the Savior, because they do not know He died on the cross for their sin and rose again, because simply they are full of pride. If they will humble themselves, they will cry out, have mercy on us, we are sinners. Oh, Savior, oh, Yeshua, oh, Yeshua, oh, Jesus, save us. When my mom passed away 3 years ago, it was just like tomorrow. It was 2 days before Christmas. And as I hold her left hand, and my wife, Vicky, hold her right hand, we were here in Memorial Hospital. And she was crying, Jesus, Son of God. She said it 3 or 4 times in Arabic. She was in pain. But then she looked at my wife, Vicky, and she said it in English, oh, Jesus. And Mom closed her eyes, and she went to be with Him. That was a great thing to know, that my mama's last word on her lips was Jesus in the English language. I wish you guys have a wonderful Merry Christmas. And you cannot have a wonderful Merry Christmas to celebrate the birth of Jesus on earth, but to celebrate the birth of Jesus in your heart, in your life. That is when you admit you are a sinner and you need Him as a Savior for you. For He shall be named Jesus, Yeshua, for He will save His people from their sins. Have you trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? If not, in just 1 minute here, you can hear a prayer from our friend, Brother Randy. And if you repeat it with Brother Randy, you will have eternal life. And this Christmas will be different than all the whatever Christmas you celebrated in the past. Because in this Christmas, Jesus will save you. And He will fulfill why He came to this world in your heart just now as you listen to this prayer. Merry Christmas to all of you. And you have a wonderful, happy new year. And we shall see you again back together here next Saturday. That is next year. God bless you all. Christy, say your goodbyes and let us celebrate this prayer together with Brother Randy.
Yes, I just want to say thank you. I know we had a caller that we did not get to, and the time goes so fast when we're trying to share here, but I just want to tell all of you, please just remember that no matter what grief there is in the world, and we know there's a lot of sad things that have happened, the Lord is truly the key to eternal life, and He is the one that can comfort even in the most difficult times. So we thank you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Christmas in this celebration of the birth of our Savior.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.